Our Heavenly Father, as we pray unto you in the name of Jesus Christ, acknowledging that we don't have any righteousness or any wisdom of our own, but everything is a gift of grace by you. Even our new man, even our new understanding of the gospel, even our growth in grace, everything is of your hand. It is your work alone. Because you work in us both to will and to do. And you work by faith. You haven't left anything in the hands of man. This sinful flesh, it cannot be overcome but by your Spirit. But you're able to give a supernatural work and the supernatural power of your Spirit so that we can be able to do things that we cannot do. We ask that your Spirit, that you would guide your church into the truth, that you would break the bondage and the spells of sinful man, that you would give righteousness, you would give justice a hearing. There have been saints crying out against racism for centuries. And you are answering their prayers, just like a woman crying out of vengeance on her raper, or the widow woman who cried out for justice. Lord God, help us to be unified. Help those who cannot see, who see our plight, our position. Help us to understand where they're coming from and not to excuse sin. Lord God, help us. Help us out of this mess. Help us come unto Christ. Help us to be unified that they may see our love and come unto Christ Jesus. May you do that by the power of your Spirit. May you give a message that is according unto your word with your Spirit of truth and with love. Help me to preach in meekness, gentleness, and boldness, and clarity of mind, and openness, and in love, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. And good evening, my brothers and my sisters. I hope that you are doing well. It has been a very tough week or two. I don't know that I've ever experienced more anguish in my own soul, in my own heart, over my brethren. There's been so much contention. There's been so much arguing. And there's been so much of a spirit of, I just don't care about you. These are my opinions and I'm just going to put them forward. But our hope is in the Word of God. And I want to bring you a message from Psalm 119, verse number 97 through 104. And the title of the message is All Day Long. It's taken from the 97th verse. This will be our first point. How I love your instruction. Not the news media and the varying reports or even as to what I think and I feel as if I ought to say. And all the facts I can prove. There is no hope, excuse me, And there is no comfort there inside of the soul. There's argument, there's confusion, there's contention, and there is debate. But in your instruction, it is my meditation all day long. That's the first point that I want to bring, is that the Word of God, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's grace, my dear ones, this is our meditation. This is where our minds run unto safety. And even though there is all this confusion, all this arguing, all the debating, all the striving, strife, all the getting after each other, all the getting up in each other's grill, all the anger, all the hatred as being shown online, the child of God, the Christian, he runs, or she runs, unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And we find safety in him. Our meditation is his love, his goodness, his wisdom, that this will all be over. And it's also our meditation that we are to love our brethren, even though they differ, even though they might be wrong, because God loves us. As you see, he is saying in this psalm, all day long, I'm meditating on your instruction. Is that true of you? It's only true of us, my brethren, by faith. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect man. He had no sin. Even in his thought life, his only purity continually. And I have not even set my mind on that to explore its depths. But he was a perfect man. But you and I are both flesh and spirit. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ said, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And so he had the ability and the love and the wisdom, the eye of wisdom, to separate our unsaved flesh that can never be redeemed with the new man in the spirit whom he has created inside of us. And so that he has made us to love things that we once hated. He's made us to hate things that me and you once loved. But we are blameless and without a blemish in his sight, in God's sight, right now, through faith in Christ and the regenerating work of the Spirit. So, if he can look past all of our sin, and if me and you can say by faith that my new man, even though my flesh, it fails me, my new man is earnestly seeking after God all the day long. It is sin that dwells in me, Paul said. That's the sinner. That's the one that gets sidetracked. That's the proneness unto wonder. But the flesh and the spirit, have been separated by God. Old Randy Mossy used to say, I'm open. But the Lord God, he sees who you truly are. He forgives all of your sin. He paid for our sin at the cross of Christ, and he treats us as his children with no condemnation. There is never condemnation on the child of God in Christ Jesus. It may come into our conscience, and then we cast it out. How? By the gospel. So, if we look upon ourselves as believing his word and being consistent Because that's what the Word of God tells us, and I am a new creation. I believe I'm a new creation because that's what God says. And if I believe the blessed gospel, I have been taught by God, I have a brand new spirit, I have an inner man that's been created after the image of Christ, then how can I not love my brothers, even when they're wrong about their politics? Now, I'm going to tell you now, I'm right. Everybody else is wrong if you disagree with me. But nevertheless, that being said, I need to calm down. I need to control myself. And I need to not be so angry at my brothers in Christ who see things so different. And here is one of the things I have seen this past week especially. It seemed like in the first week it was some unity about what happened to George Floyd. But as things have gone on, there's been a division. There's been a separation. There are brethren who can't see racism for whatever reason. And that hurts me. That makes me mad. Because I've experienced it. But they are still brethren in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that they're not to be corrected. But even our correction must be in love, understanding that we're not arguing over the gospel, or we would not be brother and sister. What we're arguing is over things of this world that are important unto us, but they're not the gospel of God's grace. So even if we differ, even if we can't see things the same way, I've met people who hold unto the gospel and believe in a flat earth. I haven't gotten into that too deep, other than just it's ridiculous. If the earth is flat, if the sun is here, no matter how small it is, if the earth is flat, there will be light everywhere, at least a portion of it at the same time. But I'm talking about people who believe crazy things, but they're still the children of God. They're ignorant, perhaps, in what they're talking about. And maybe that's you and me. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I think I do, but it's politics. It's not the gospel. And so we need to forgive, and we need to be patient. We need to reprove with meekness, with gentleness, and we must let people slide, even if they cannot see things our way. I've never seen brethren more divided in my lifetime over things that are not the gospel. But if our meditation is on His truth, His gospel, His word, and He forgives us of our sin, He esteems us highly for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, I have to look at my brothers the same way that He looks at me and see that's the spirit that loves Christ. It's the flesh that's involved in this nonsense. And you know I've got a flesh too. So let's keep going. And let's grow as we love each other. And the strength and the truth and the proof is to be meditating on Him. On what does He say? How ought I to act? How should I treat so-and-so? How should I respond? How should I conduct myself? How should I carry my behavior for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake? What you know is just as important as what you show in your life. And if you really know it, then you really show it. If you really show it, it's because you know God's grace for real. And it really, it has to permeate us in this life of Christ Jesus. And so we learn how to answer with our tongues very wisely. But let's keep going. Point number two, verse number 98. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are always with me. That's the inner man. That is the new person. That is the fleshless spirit of the new creation. Verse 99. I have more insight than all of my teachers. Those guys on the radio, those guys on TV, those guys I went to school with, those guys that don't have the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, because your decrees are my meditation. I'm not wiser than somebody else because of my wisdom. There is a wisdom that's after the flesh. But the wisdom that me and you have, that surpasses all other human beings in this world who don't have God and who don't know Him by the Spirit, is the wisdom of the gospel. You and I, my brother, we know what's going on. We know about redemption in Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. We know how God is pacified, and we know how we need a Savior. I can watch that video and know what's at the root of it. It's racism, but it's sin. It's a power play. It's a struggle in between life and death, as one man has power over another. But I know what's in the heart of that man. And I know the true remedy. And so do you. And we may need more legislation. I like good government. I like laws that are just and upright, that help us. I was in Amsterdam. This was 13 years ago almost. And I walked into the casino, and I'm just there as a tourist. I'm asking some questions and look nice and orderly. And so I got to talking unto the person at the front desk as I was trying to understand their form of government, because I liked it. And what the person told me is that if there is a person who keeps coming in and he or she's losing, and they begin to look poor and ragged and behave like an addict, and you can see an addict, you can spot them quite often, then what they will do is talk unto this person, counsel this person, and if that doesn't work, they'll freeze this person from even playing until they get help. Now, in the U.S., we don't really do that. But I like that form of government and care. I like the fact I'm hearing in Nigeria an uproar. It's an uproar at the rape, at the child molestation, at the pressure that's put on these women to sleep with their professor or their teacher or their boss. And so the young ladies, these beautiful young ladies and older ones too, are being pressured to choose either you give up your body or you give up your job and your opportunity to eat. And I'm is I'm outraged. If that was my daughter, if that was my sister, if that was my neighbor, if that was my friend, if that's just a stranger, I don't even know her, I don't like this situation, I'm happy to hear an outcry for more just laws. And I'm happy to hear of the same in the youth. As they ask for jobs and ask for justice, the ability to feed their families with some dignity and have rights and to get a bigger piece of the pie so the children are able to be educated instead of having to work, and they have running water, they have flushing toilet, and they have trash pickup. These things are good things. These things are bad. But our wisdom, our meditation, what me and you know is more than a just law in the eyes of men. I know that man needs to be born again. I know he needs to be saved from the wrath of God. And whether he's got the foot on the neck, or the knee on the neck, or the knees on his neck, each of them needs the gospel. I was talking to one of the saints, is a sister, and it became quite clear unto her that men and women are perishing in hell. They're going to hell when they die, and they need the gospel. Me and you, we understand that. I was watching it was a movie last night. It was about a Pentecostal preacher who turned into a Unitarian. And as I'm watching it, it's so angry and so sad. He's saying he heard from God that there is no hell. And I feel bad for his congregation. That's out of the frying pan and into the fire. And so me and you want justice. I want righteousness on the street. I want love to flourish. But at the same time, I know men and women need gospel. What's the problem with men is their sinfulness. It's their hatefulness against God. I've got people I care about who cannot think that they're sinners. They are so opposed, so diametrically opposed to the very fundamental of the gospel, that you are a sinner in need of mercy, that they will never cry out to God for mercy except He sends them help. They need to be born again. They need a new spirit. And what me and you understand that is above all of our teachers is that what we need in this world, in the church, is the Holy Spirit to show us Christ with power so that we love each other and reach the gospel out. That we don't need to be divided over our opinions. We need to love each other. There must be unity among the saints. I don't say you must keep quiet about all these issues, but sometimes you do have to bite your tongue. Sometimes you and I must keep scrolling. Sometimes me and you have to take that one unto the chin and just to forgive, because it's more important that when this blows over, I trust that we work together for Christ Jesus. That's what's important unto us. And this is a sad time. This is a horrible time in many ways. But it's also an opportunity for us to love each other and to grow and to bring our anguish and our hurt unto God and say, Lord God, make me more patient. Make me more gentle. Make me more tender-hearted. Make me more compassionate. Make me more loving. Make me more Christ-like as I endure with these thorns and these thistles. I can't just close myself off in hatred. I can't just respond with a lack of love. We need Christ. in the power of the Spirit as we deal with each other online and in person, because our differences are extreme. And Paul told them in Philippians 2 to, it's in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree where? In the Lord. Our agreement is not in this world. I'm so different. I think so differently. I have such different experiences. I've got my own personality, my own thoughts, my own ambitions, and my own things I see right and wrong from where I'm standing. But just like the four Gospels don't agree, but they agree. They have particulars that are different, and some things are left out, but at least they are all the truth. And what me and you are only going to be able to get along with each other with is in the truth of the gospel. There is no way to bring every person into our own understanding of politics. You just can't do it. Our unity is not in republicanism, is not in conservatism, it's not even in fighting racism. Our unity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the gospel of His shed blood. It's in the mercy and the power of His Spirit. And we are endeavoring, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's our wisdom. That's us knowing more than the unbelievers. As a church, it unites itself in love, even though we differ, to show the world the sweetness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians ought to debate things differently, heatedly, passionately, but lovingly in Christ Jesus. Because there's only one Lord, there's only one Spirit, there's only one baptism, there's only one faith. And so me and you, we have a God-given understanding. I have more insight than all my teachers. Verse 100, point number 3. I understand more than the elders because I obey your precepts. It's by experience. It's by actually believing on Christ, not just talking about it. I have kept my feet from every evil path to follow your word. That's a man that's zealous. That's a man that's all out. That's the new man that's in me and you if we are in Christ Jesus. If you're born of God, this is you. And he says that I've kept my feet from every evil path to follow your word. That's what I'm talking about. Not how I feel. Not how I act, not how I respond in my emotions. Not I'm just going to tell somebody how I feel about them. No, sir. No, sir. I have made a commitment. It's very willing. It's very conscious. It is day by day. It is continual in my new nature, even though the flesh and the world and my brethren at times fight against it. But it is to follow His word, not what I think, not what I feel, not what I want to do, but Him. And so our minds are running back to the word of God as we speak and before we speak. I have written a few things on this inability to see racism. It shocks me. And on this accusation that everybody who talks about social justice is an atheist. That doesn't make no sense. But the things I have written, there's been some I have posted I think are from God, but there have been some I have spent a long time writing, but I just couldn't hit the send button. It didn't seem like it was the Spirit. And it's been things I have written I've had to go back and take down because I don't want to be associated with it. It may be true in its way, but it's not the gospel and the Spirit of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? His word is our teacher. He tells us what to do. He tells us if I should hit that particular button for sin. Is it loving? Is the thing I'm saying, is it in love or is it out of hatred and anger? Am I just trying to make another person angry? Am I only being inconsiderate of other people? I'm just going to show my opinion? Am I disregarding the hurt or the pain of other people? That's legitimate? Am I ignoring other people's feelings? I've had some great conversations privately and some publicly, but some privately, even with some well-known preachers on this issue, as I caught them saying things that weren't balanced, when we went into the side and they were able to explain, or I was able to express unto this sister and me and this person, and we're able to talk things out and to work it out. And even if we differ, if we walk away with a hug and love and mutual respect, you can't just say, if you don't have my opinion, then you don't know God. No, that's the gospel. I have to have the gospel. I don't have a pope. There is no human being that should ever rule our conscience except it is written. A husband is to rule his wife, but not her conscience. Her conscience is set free in the liberty of Jesus Christ, and she is to use that in love towards others and in meekness and submission. But her opinion and mine don't mean the other person doesn't know God. You got to judge people by of the gospel, and you got to give them the benefit of the doubt, and you got to be patient, you got to be kind, and you have to let a lot of stuff slide, because God lets a lot of stuff slide with you and me. Verse number 102, I have not turned from your judgments, for you yourself have instructed me. The only reason that me and you know God is the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost and the election of the Father. Our Lord Jesus, he put it like this in the book of John 6, verse number 45. It is written in the prophets, this is a quotation from Isaiah, and they, the elect, those ones who come to Christ, those ones who know the wisdom of the gospel, will all be taught by God. That is directly by the Holy Spirit. Here is the result. Everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father, here is the fruit of that. They come, he says, unto me. The only reason that you and I are still in the race, the only reason our brains, which are so sinful and corrupted except by grace, haven't led us into hell. The majority of the most brilliant, powerful, successful people in this world have perished. Not many mighty are chosen. I can't brag and boast in my intellect. I would be a drooling fool who couldn't even say my name except for the grace of God. But worse than that, you and I would be going into the lake of fire any moment for all eternity. We know God because he taught us. if you understand something more clearly than somebody else, even in this world, it's the Lord God that put your mind and allowed it to think those thoughts. And he could have used you and me the same way that he uses Satan, who is so brilliant, so powerful, so mighty, and yet he's reserved in chains unto the judgment of the great day. Terrible. So I can't brag and boast on my wisdom. I can't brag and boast on my zeal. The only reason that me and you have any love for God at all, the only reason that me and you understand anything, is because of God's electing love, his grace. So that humbles us. That makes us love others. That makes us praise God. And if we were like that in our knowledge, whether it be the scriptures, that's the real deal, that's the main knowledge, or our understanding about mathematics, if we just realize it's only because of you, it would fix our attitude. And that's what we need. Our pride is on display in our social media. And I know we can send a meme by Calvin or Luther, or we quote Spurgeon, and we hit like on Augustine or R.C. Sproul. But can we be patient? And can we be loving? And can we be kind? That comes from you knowing God is the only reason that you and I know God. I hope we can do more of that. I've got so much growth I need to do. Yeah, the doctrine of election, man, I know it. But to get the doctrine into my soul as to where I'm kind, that's another level. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about growth and grace, maturity, truly understanding what the Word of God says. Here's my last point. Verse 103 and 104. How sweet your word is unto my taste. Have you found it so with all of the arguing and all of the confusion? Sweeter than honey in my mouth. It's the only hope I've got. It's the only peace. It's the only joy. It's the most precious thing in the world. I gain understanding from your precepts, how to live my life and how to view people. And therefore, now, this is important, I hate every false way. I hate the false gospels. I don't love Arminianism. If you believe that free will is the ultimate reason that you're saved, you don't know the gospel. God saves by grace and mercy and pity and compassion. It's God. I hate the mistreating of my brethren. I hate to see us argue. Don't you? Don't you hate seeing brethren at each other's throats with hard words and hatred? I hate injustice in the street, don't you? Didn't you watch that video and say, I hate that? You see, me and you hate the false way because we love our Lord Jesus Christ and we've been made just like him. I don't mean in the miracle working power or in the deity, but it says of him from Hebrews 1 that he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. Therefore, God has highly exalted him with the oil of gladness above his compadres, his fellows. As you see, me and you, we hate sin. I hate it in the street. I hate it in the courthouse. I hate it in the White House. I hate it in me. I hate it in you. I hate sin just like me and you both do. Because Christ is in us by his Spirit, and we are a brand new creation that's been made after his image. So as we grow in grace, and this is what this psalm is just really teaching me. It's not just a study, some esoteric doctrine outside of me in the philosophies of religion. It is not just an analysis of being made righteous by faith. It is much more than that. It's your word, it's your testimonies, it's your statutes, it's your truth, it's my meditation, and I hate everything evil that opposes it, which means I cleave unto this and I reject everything else. It's like an old school fullback. It could be Larry Zonka. People bumbling through and he hits you with that stiff arm, or Earl Campbell, or even Marcus Allen. You ain't gonna touch me. That's the nature of this new man. And what me and you need is growth. I can see by our interaction online, in this turmoil of these race relations and this talk about social justice and the protests and we've been locked up in our houses, I can see the anger, the wrath, the injustice, the contempt, and it shows me, man, that's why there is no great revival. He and you are not as spiritual as we thought. But that's not a time to throw in the towel. That's not a time to lose hope. And for me personally, that's not even a time to turn off my Facebook. It may be tempting. And there may be some people that you just can't follow, because they're not preaching Christ. All they're preaching is this world, and it's no good. And you gave them the benefit of the doubt, but it's just not edifying your soul. It's not the gospel. But for my brethren who slip and who come back and preach Christ, I have too. That we get involved in our arguing and our anger and our point of view and our pride, but as he brings us back and we speak more gently, I don't have to agree with you on everything. That's not plainly taught in this book, but I must love my brothers and you me. And we got to respect each other. I'm not lying about my experiences. And you're not lying about how you feel. Let's come to truth if possible. If we can't, let's just love each other for Christ's sake. The Lord bless you. As you grow in grace, I grow in grace for his name's sake. The title of this message, All Day Long. This new man is consistent by the might, the power of the Spirit, because he's been made after the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and the Lord help us grow as he watches over us for his name's sake. Amen.
My brothers and my sisters, I hope that you